Welcome to Homily Studio for the 33rd Sunday of Ordinary Time, 14th of November 2021. Your familiar host, Father John O'Connor, is off on a 30-day retreat and is staying off-net. Instead, you have me, Father Merv Duffy, Auckland-based Marist priest and theology lecturer, stepping into his shoes. And I'll ask my colleagues from around the country to introduce themselves.
I'm Laurel Lanner. I work for the National Centre for Religious Studies, and I work mainly on the secondary school curriculum, but I also have a background in biblical studies.
Kia ora koutou, magandang umaga. I'm Maya Bernardo. I'm the launch outformator and manager from the Archdiocese of Wellington. It's a formation program for lay pastoral leaders, lay ministers, and chaplains in the Archdiocese of Wellington. Thank you.
Kia ora, everybody. I'm Rory Patterson. I'm an REA, Religious Education Advisor, in the Diocese of Christchurch.
So we've got the country covered from Auckland to Dunedin. As we begin, what verse or what phrase struck you from the readings for this Sunday?
I'll probably go first, if I can. The entire idea about the apocalypse really grabbed my fascination, and I think I'm not the only one. Hollywood has probably fed this imagination, like Tom Cruise would probably have two movies about the apocalypse. And that's a giveaway on the kind of movies I watch. And then I Googled this, end of times. And if you look at Wikipedia, there are over 100 dates they were saying for apocalyptic events. And if you watch, you're following COP26 and being part of the pandemic, I think we would all be asking if the end of times is near. And then the ensuing questions would be, where will I be? How will I be? And should it matter? I felt that the entire idea of the apocalypse may be too big of a reflection to unpack on a venue or platform as this. So I was led to reflect on the micro apocalypses of daily life or our own lives as a whole. Many of us have devastating experiences that literally turned our worlds upside down, ending the way we view our life and ourselves and leaving us lost. It could be sickness, end of a relationship, a job we dearly love, death of a loved one, among other things. And our own experience of the pandemic is some sort of an apocalypse. The gospel did end with Jesus saying, everything passes away, but my word will not pass away. In essence, Jesus underpins two fundamental truths in our lives. Everything ends, God endures. To be ready for life's endings would mean not to cling to this world, because everything will pass, but then also God endures.
Well, Maya, you have kicked off a huge theme there: apocalypse, end times. Laurel, you're the scripture scholar. Tell us about that kind of biblical writing.
Well, just rather than a general spiel on apocalypse, just bringing it back to these two, to the Old Testament reading in Daniel and the Mark passage. These are sort of quite typical because they arise from real historical pressures. You know, that at the time that Daniel was being written, there was pressure on the Jewish people from a nasty ruler, Antiochus Epiphanes the fourth, who was trying to suppress Judaism and the religious practice at the time, and things were looking pretty grim. And the same, you know, in Jesus' time, the Romans, the pressure was gradually building. So people, it's sort of almost natural for people to see these terrible things in history. And of course, in those days, they weren't seeing the whole world. Like, we're seeing the whole, you know, with COP, you know, we see the effects of, you know, negative things in history for the whole world. In those days, they were just seeing their local scene. They didn't know what the whole world was looking like. But, you know, when these things happen, you look for justice. And you look for you know, history is not perfect, and so you start to look for perfection. And so what Apocalypse is doing is really, apocalyptic writing is doing, sort of taking, there must be something beyond history, there must be something that that is good and just and right, and ultimately the good and just and right is found in God and Jesus. So that's part of that, you know, my comment on Apocalypse. But also for me, connected sort of with this is the words that stuck out for me were in Daniel it says, everyone who is found written in the book. And then in Mark it says, the angels will gather his elect. And they sound quite passive, but actually the point is that we write ourselves in the book. You know, we choose to be the elect. And so that's where I sort of started to dwell.
The interesting thing is, as you say, apocalyptic often comes out of stress times.
Yeah.
When they feel that the world is, or their world is coming apart in one way or another. And at the moment, the anti-vaxxers and people like that are using quite apocalyptic language. Mm. And some people are deciding that they are the remnant against the world. So in a sense, how do we do healthy apocalypse?
Yeah, and what is that church that has the magic number, 144, the last number?
Yeah, 144,000 will be saved. Seventh-day Adventist, I think. Mm. They have the record for the most predictions for the end of the world. So far, they've been wrong.
Wikipedia declared 100 dates. Could be over that, I suppose.
For me, looking at these readings, I've gone in a slightly different direction from everybody else so far. I really liked the line in Daniel. Well, I don't know whether I liked it. I think it's perhaps because we're in November, but it jumped out at me. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Mm. And I immediately thought of, family and friends who are in heaven now. And in particular, this last line that I'm picking up on what Laurel said, and those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. And the people that I've journeyed with, that have been part of my faith life, who've informed me and have shown me what justice is, I've just been, as I read that, I thought, those are the people that Daniel's referring to here, that the people that I've had in my life who have taught me and shown me justice and taught me how to be just. And so that's what jumped out at me initially. I was quite shocked and disturbed to realize that the stars that are there forever in Daniel are then falling in the gospel. The stars will be falling from the sky and so on. So, and I also liked the aspect here when I heard Jesus say, learn a lesson from the fig tree. Again, thinking of somebody from my life, my mother's father, as a child, I spent a lot of time in the garden with him, a lot of memories of gardening and helping him with his enormous veggie garden. And he would say things like that when I was helping him to do various things about the changing of the seasons, about the weather patterns, this is going to happen next, keep an eye out for this. And I think, in terms of, that makes me think, well, okay, it's up to me now, I'm still here. So how can I be just? How can I be one of these stars that will remain forever?
The psalm supports your theme because you've got, you will not leave my soul among the dead.
Yes.
So there's a whole resurrection theme running through all of the, or, you know, because Daniel kicks it off. Hebrews talks about Jesus offering sacrifice for sin so that he's there to intercede for us. And part of the second coming is the dead shall be raised.
Mm. Isn't it that the concepts of both devastation and renewal comes together in these readings?
Devastation and renewal.
Or rebirth.
Which is sort of goes back to the lesson from the fig tree, because, you know, it's got that sense of seasonal, you know, there's a season of these things. And, you know, from seeing Daniel and Mark, and from our own experience, we know that this feeling of catastrophe has come over and over again in human history. And we still have hope. We still, yeah.
Yeah. And even in our own lives, as I mentioned a while ago, it's either the apocalypse, the bigger apocalypse, or the micro apocalypse of our own lives when our worlds are turned upside down.
I like that term, a micro apocalypse. I think it's a complete contradiction in terms, and it's magnificent. I like it. There are times when there is an end time in my life. Yeah. Mm.
And if I may say, like Rory, I connect with the learn from the lesson of the fig tree. And there are signs. Sometimes you would know if the end is near in your own life. I've read somewhere in one of Paulo Coelho's books. See, it's not all Tom Cruise. I've read somewhere in one of Paulo Coelho's books. He said, it is important that we know when a stage of life has come to an end. Otherwise, we lose the joy of the rest. So sometimes we can foresee that a micro apocalypse coming, but we deny that it is coming and we pay a price for it. And so I think going back to the reading, we are exhorted to be ready. And what does that readiness mean? I think the readiness is to be ready to lose everything. You might think I'm too young, but the older I get, the more I kind of realize when in doing my work or ministry, I could be totally committed to something, deeply passionate. But there's also a growing detachment. Having a different death and resurrections in life, you kind of know, oh, this could not work. This will pass away. And then somehow, but it doesn't mean you kind of treat life indifferently. You give it your all, you enjoy the gusto. But then at the back of it, you know, you have to let it go. Or you have, yeah.
It sounds like wisdom to me.
The next time somebody asks me how my day was and it's been really bad, I'm going to say I've had a micro-apocalypse. because you're right, we do have them from time to time. This combination of readings also reminded me of those times of trauma or loss in life, and they can be, you know, it feels like we're in a worldwide trauma at the moment with COVID, but they are, I remember learning about the concept of liminality, you know, it's in those deep troughs where for one thing we can be incredibly open to God's voice in our life, but we do then have great joys as well at the opposite end. So it's in those micro apocalypses that we often learn about ourselves, and we are often very close to God.
And I think we're going through a stress time as a country. Auckland with lockdown is under considerable stress, and people are showing that in all kinds of ways. And I think basically COVID is going to spread through the country, and everybody is going to experience probably a very hard time over the next months. Things will be different. The world will be changed. We're hoping things are going to open up and get better, but I rather fear that we may go through a time that is worse. And we may lose people we love. That was a cheery thought. Now, if you're a preacher with this gospel and you want to finish with an idea that people can take away, what's your takeaway from the 33rd Sunday?
For me, Merv, it reminds me very much of that last verse of Daniel. But the wise shall shine brightly like the splendor of the firmament, and those who lead the many to justice shall be like stars forever. Teaching religious education, mainly in my time in schools with year 7 and 8 students, And there's a that theme of justice comes through really strong in a couple of places in year eight. And so there's a learning intention about bringing about justice, or the Māori word is tika, in the world. And so it's part of the mission of the church that we are to bring about the kingdom of God on earth partially through acts of justice. And so in relation to the gospel, that last parting shot, the day or the hour, no one knows, it's about being ready. And so for me, I'm going to challenge myself to be more just today, because I do not know the day or the hour.
And Laurel, what would you leave listeners with?
There's actually so much I want to leave them with. This is just packed with so much stuff that you could go down. I was reading Guardini's got a little book about the last things, and there was so much in that I just loved. This whole idea that resurrection is a response to a summons. And then I sort of wanted to be able to tie that together with this idea of sort of what Rory's saying, that now there's hope, but we are part of creating that hope. You know, the hope is in Jesus ultimately, but that that we realise this, because it's our acts that draw us to Christ, and that summons is the call to draw us. You know, like they're all sort of connected, this idea of being summoned and then this drawing up towards Jesus, that is part of what I think these readings are heading towards. You know, like it's the macro apocalypse is really also telling us that we have a part to play. You know, it's about justice. It's about what we do. It's our acts that help, bring about in the end the perfection that is part of the coming back. That sounds very muddled, I know, but I'm trying to pull together all these different sort of thoughts about it. So, yeah, I suppose the very last message I'd like to say is that we are essential in that hope. That there is hope, and we are essential. We play an essential part in that. Yeah.
So we've got the big story of salvation history going on, leading to your macro apocalypse. But our individual stories, our micro apocalypses, all play a part in that, are all weaving together that tapestry.
The other thing that Guardini said, which I also really liked, was this idea that our resurrection starts at a baptism, that whole, dying and rising with Christ. That so our resurrection actually starts with our constant casting off of the negative and building towards this imitation of Christ, you know, this idea of ultimate justice and our striving for perfection, which we never quite reach, but we strive for.
Oh, gosh, I need a day to unpack this. For me, I would share, we all do not know when the apocalypse will happen or how it would look like, and much less as we cannot predict the micro-apocalypses of our own lives. The gospel illuminates us the way we can deal with the passages of life or of the world. We are asked to reflect on what matters most to us and what matters most to God. And this is where I bring the wisdom of Rory and about social justice. This Sunday is World Day of the Poor. And Laura was saying we are invited to act on it and not just to be passive audience or what do you call this? Waiting at the departure lounge for everything to happen. We are called to participate and do something about it. The World Day of the Poor and our sense of mission underpins what is most important to God and for us to do. So the way I would reflect on this, a life of mission is our way forward, whether we live to see the end of the world or whether whatever micro apocalypses we are going through. I take wisdom from Evangelii Gaudium when Francis was saying, I am mission. And as connecting to Laura's and our need to participate and act and do something, and Rory's call for underpinning social justice in the way we live our lives. The Psalm says it best, God is our inheritance because everything passes away. And this one, I was led while reflecting the words just came dancing around my mind over and over. And only God endures, and only God endures, and only God endures, and only God endures. And I think that those words are powerful enough to assure us that devastation may be a part of our lives and our now and in the future to come. But there's a greater truth. Only God endures, and that's the only thing that matters.
And since I failed to pray this prayer at the start, let's end with the collect for this Sunday. Let us pray. Grant us, we pray, O Lord our God, the constant gladness of being devoted to you, for it is full and lasting happiness to serve with constancy the author of all that is good. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.